Hey, Peter. So this is Wanna Gary, Jonathan Feldman, and Drew Conway Murray. We're here with Steve Schick of Luco. So can you start by telling us what products you work on, what you're releasing here, what you've got coming?
Sure. Our big focus this week is on cloud optimization. So obviously everybody's talking about cloud, and when it comes to WAN optimization, people have focused more on the private cloud, mm-hmm. which is sort of a continuum of where WAN optimization has already existed. I mean, WAN optimization is sort of defined by being symmetrical. It's, you know, between two points, and typically between the data center and the branch office, and you consolidate all this stuff so things are slow. So you apply these technologies between these two points to speed things up. In a true public cloud, that's just not possible. So we developed a way to also provide optimization and acceleration that's kind of one-armed or one-handed, as we might say, or just able to do it with a single appliance using what we call our cloud caching engine. So it takes advantage of some of the technologies that we've developed over the years and kind of perfected, and there's a new release of our technology that's just come out that, you know, kind of enhances this process. But it deals with the problem of how do you optimize, you know, software as a service and other sorts of things that are based in the public cloud, where you just can't deploy any kind of, you know, physical or virtual WAN optimization appliance.
Can you give us some insight into your secrets of how you do that?
Yeah, so we've been pioneers of caching technology, and it takes advantage of a lot of the caching technology that we've developed. We've made some improvements in how you cache newer file types, rich media sorts of things that are even marked, you know, do not cache. You know, how do you handle those kind of things? And then a bunch of HTTP technology too. So how to make HTTP protocol much more efficient. You know, get things in bulk rather than a sequential download of things and that kind of thing. And then the final piece of that is really being able to deal with SSL encryption. So if it's coming from the public cloud, it's going to be encrypted, of course, you know, because you don't want to send something business critical in the clear. But the problem is, you know, if it's an application you don't own those certificates. So how do you decrypt? And we can actually do that. We kind of figured out how to do that. So all of that together works in our solution for optimizing the public cloud, which we see as just an extension of our overall WAN optimization solution. We don't segment the solution at all. We kind of say, you know, let's put all of this together, because really it's a, you know, you need a comprehensive solution, and we're not going to force people to choose between this option and that option.
Are you saying that you've cracked SSL, or are you saying that you're acting as a man in the middle?
It's more like a man in the middle.
Right. Yeah.
So we gain, you know, the user. So we act as the user to the server, basically. And that's something, again, that we've kind of perfected over the years. And something, you know, where we actually have, there's a lot of policy that goes into that too, because there are certain situations where you, as a company, would not want to do that. You know, maybe it's somebody's private banking transaction, or, you know, worse yet, maybe it's a healthcare kind of transaction. As a company, you don't want to break into that session. So you want to have enough policy to determine, you know, what are the things you look at and what are the things you don't. And it's actually a security issue too, because, you know, stuff that you don't know, you know, it's clearly not healthcare, it's clearly not personal banking, maybe a couple of other categories, you're probably going to want to look at, because, you know, encryption is rapidly becoming a new avenue for malicious attacks.
Sure.
So what kind of public cloud applications do you see customers wanting to accelerate?
So, you know, of course, Salesforce.com is the king, and, you know, we use that as ourselves as a company. The interesting thing there is, you know, it also becomes this portal for a lot of documents and other things that people access, and that's where you really see a huge benefit with WAN optimization.
Yeah.
The other thing, though, is a lot of times IT is unaware of the software as a service that its company is already using. And HR is one of the probably the foremost contributors of that, I guess you could say. So, you know, first it starts with some kind of time management system. And again, they just decide, you know, IT, they're not getting it from IT, and they don't want to actually buy the solution, so they end up just getting this cloud-based solution, and IT doesn't even know about it. And then next it becomes, you know, maybe this vacation system, and then it becomes, you know, the benefits, and then it actually becomes the employee, you know, performance review system. But you know, a lot of times the IT organization isn't aware of just how much their company is already using cloud-based systems. And the, you know, what we've seen is that when the response rate for those things gets too bad, people just don't use them. And
right.
So even if it's an HR application, if it's too slow, people just won't use it, and or they'll circumvent that process. And so, you know, I think anybody really using any kind of cloud-based service for anything that's important is going to, you know, value some kind of WAN optimization for the cloud.
So I can see how you would, through caching technology, accelerate things coming from the cloud, you know, back to the organization, especially if it's data that you've seen before, and you have a hash of it or something.
Right.
I'm less clear about how you would accelerate something. For example, if I'm uploading a document to Salesforce.com and it's a big document, you're telling me that you don't have an appliance in the public cloud. You've just got an appliance at the enterprise. And so can you walk me through how that works, how you can accelerate that?
Well, so you're right. So basically, it really is based on what's coming down from the cloud rather than what's going up.
I see.
Unless you can somehow put some sort of, you know, WAN optimization up in the cloud, there are difficulties in being able to tackle that. I mean, there are a few things that we can do in terms of, you know, maybe sending things more efficiently up to the cloud, but
right.
to use other, you know, existing WAN optimization technologies, you need to have something up there. And so we've really dealt with more of the case of what comes down. So you do get a great benefit that way because of, you know, the documents that we've talked about, but also, you know, there's a lot of forms and other things that have a fair amount of content repetition to them. And so, you know, if we can cache those things locally, we'll see a pretty big benefit in terms of response time and bandwidth consumption too, actually.
Now, would it be possible to put one of your appliances, if you say you're a large enough customer and Salesforce would let you do that? I mean, is
absolutely.
That, do you see that
yeah.
happening with any of your customers?
We haven't seen any indication from the software as a service folks yet. I mean, the kind of private or semi-private ones, you know, we have seen that, and that's why we actually created a new higher capacity virtual appliance, and you know, we think, you know, that's the way to go. And so where you're able to deploy a virtual or hardware-based solution, then there's a lot of benefit to actually being able to do that. But at a minimum, at least handling this aspect, you know, gives a pretty significant boost to people.
But do you have customers who've decided to deploy one of your virtual appliances? Because I know you have virtualization
right.
for the Blue Coat
That's right.
clients. You know, say in AWS, because AWS has pipes like that big, you know, pretty big pipe. Do you have any customers who are actually doing what Laura described? I'm interested.
That are public.
Right. That are
putting a virtual appliance
in the cloud
web service.
So we actually haven't seen that yet. So we
yeah.
have a lot of interest from people, mm-hmm. but at least none that I'm aware of. So it probably hasn't happened to a
yeah.
great degree yet, but. And I'm not sure that I've been looking for it industry-wide, too, because other people offer solutions, you know, of that type. And I haven't seen that kind of adoption yet. You know, people have talked about it, but I'm not really aware of it going on.
Maybe that just there's not a lot of content-heavy stuff sitting on Amazon Web Services. It's more like a computer and document storage.
Yeah.
I'm curious to know, you know, do you anticipate that customers will, you know, like, put one of these devices at branches, or is it more like this goes at HQ and then, you know, we'll cache it from the SaaS provider here and then also use the rest of the WAN optimization out to the branches?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I think we'll see both. So our primary, I guess, design objective when we were looking at it was more the branch office. And we thought that this could actually be an enabler for changing the way that people, you know, structure their networks too. Because, I mean, for years now, Gartner in particular have been talking about direct to the net and how we'll see branch offices, you know, getting away from the practice of backhauling to the data center. But it really hasn't panned out. We've seen it, the uptick in Asia over the past 2 years in a significant way. You know, it's still low percentage, but it's really popped up from zero to, you know, maybe you see it 20% of the time now. But not so much in North America. Once, you know, people start thinking in terms of cloud, and if, like, a lot of your applications are, you know, cloud-based, all of a sudden, you know, you might start rethinking that idea of, well, maybe I should go split tunnel, and, you know, the stuff that is truly going out to the internet that, you know, is going to be latency sensitive and all of that, maybe I really should go direct. And, you know, fortunately, we're in the position to be able to also help them with the security concerns there, too, since that's, you know, a big part of our heritage. And in fact, as a company, we've been a little bit of an odd duck because we're sort of, you know, we've been doing a lot in web security, but also WAN optimization. And for some people that like to, you know, kind of look at you in one particular bucket, it's a hard thing because, you know, which are you today, or, you know, how do these things fit together? And cloud is actually something that starts to bring that together in a way, just because, you know, even the groups of people that we deal with in a larger enterprise, there's the security group and there's the networking group, and oftentimes they're at odds with one another. They might not talk to each other. They actually think that, you know, one undermines the other, you know, and cloud actually starts to bring that together a little bit. And so, you know, I think, you know, certainly providing branch to cloud is an interesting thing. Or even if you're backhauling, though, there's a lot of benefit to still being able to do that caching locally at the branch. Then in the data center or the corporate headquarters, it also makes a lot of sense too, you know, because the real pinch point on networks are either, you know, the WAN link or the internet gateway. And you know, in especially in a country where bandwidth is cheap, maybe the internet gateway isn't under that much strain, but there's plenty of places in the world where it is. And
like here in the US, where we have no broadband.
Yeah.
Sad.
Sad to say.
So if I'm looking at doing a branch office direct to the internet, do I need to buy a Blue Coat appliance for the cloud as well as the Blue Coat appliance that I have that's connecting me back to HQ?
No, it all one and the same. So, the same appliance that would provide that asymmetrical optimization to the cloud would also provide the symmetrical optimization to the data center. And in fact, we go one more, so that if you really wanted to, that appliance that you deploy in the branch office could also, you know, provide, be the security point for the branch office too, and give you the same policies and protection that you have in your corporate headquarters out at the branch office, which is comforting to a lot of companies. So, you know, like in enterprises, we have 97 of the top 100 companies in the world that use us as a web security solution, and then a huge part of the Fortune 500 and Global 500. And so we're really, you know, well installed and trusted at their internet gateway, you know, as a part of rethinking how they architect, and maybe they, you know, allow some, you know, direct to internet from the branch, that kind of helps their thinking, you know, if they realize, wow, okay, this same thing that I put out there for WAN optimization could also give me that consistency of security. okay, maybe I really would do that.
It does seem like you get more value out of a product you've already got.
Yeah, and we, you know, we've, like I said, part of, philosophically, we've not wanted to, I guess, nickel and dime people, but we've also wanted, you know, we've kind of felt like these things actually do belong together, and we don't want people to, you know, to have to make the choice. I mean, the other thing you can look at the platform is as a video delivery platform, and that's also a critical thing, and again, there's sort of like the internal case, you know, stuff coming from the headquarters or data center, and then stuff coming from the web too, you know, and in both cases it's live and it's on-demand video, and you know, we are able to you know, kind of remove the penalty, as I like to say, for both of those things with using stream splitting technology and also caching.
Can you give listeners a picture into pricing for the hardware, the virtual?
So The turnkey hardware appliance starts at $2,995 US is the list price for that. It's kind of so that would be maybe a smaller branch office.
Okay. Do you have other things that are coming down the line that you'd like to share?
The one other piece that we haven't talked about is IPv6, and that's also part of the solution. I know this is starting to sound like the, you know, and you get the Ginsu knives too, but
that's not all.
And that's not all. And behind curtain number three, so we actually years ago actually started to see the transition to IPv6 as being a problem for people, because we realized, you know, it's not going to happen overnight. It's going to happen over years, and as they coexist, that's where the problem's going to exist. And there's three things that are going to be primary issues for people. The first and foremost is just a connectivity issue, because fundamentally, if you're on a V4 network, you can't get to V6 content and services. Or if you're on a V6 network,
without
can't get
a proxy.
To V4.
Well, yeah, right. You do need something.
Yeah, you'd need to be
proxy.
Able to, right. And so we've, you know, solved that solution for people. You know, secondarily, a lot of web security is based on, you know, explicitly using V4 addresses. Mm-hmm. And so without having to go through line by line and making, you know, massive changes to your security policies, you know, we can do that. Translation isn't quite the right word, but we can kind of, make that.
You can delay the pain.
Right.
Your folks are going to eventually have to switch to V6.
Right. But you know, if it's a 5-year transition and you're a global company,
yes.
And you know, already Japan and Korea and Hong Kong have had to go to a V6 network, you can, you know, solve that problem. You can provide your consistent security policies for them. And actually, now something we just introduced is you can actually apply WAN optimization across those links too, even, you know, as they go from V4 to V6 and V6 to V4.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Again, this is Andrew Conrad Murray, Jonathan Feldman, and Lorna Gary here with Steve Schick from Blue Coat. And thanks for listening.